Okay. So what does it say? Okay, Flurim Mikates. So we're called, it's a short day, so I don't want to remark too much. But, I know there's a lot. But we'll synopsize. We call it Yosef. We know that he spent two more years in prison, right? So two more years in prison.
Isn't that last week's plunger?
Yeah. And this is the end. What do you call it? What we call it here is Miketz, right? Miketz is the end of the darkness. Ketz sam lachoshech. The darkness finally comes to an end, and Yosef is taken out of prison. So in any event, the Medrash says, Ashrei Agever Asher Sam Hashem Mivtacho. Authenticated is trust in Hashem. So the Medrash, Zeh Yosef. That's Yosef. V'lo pone l'rahavim, l'satei chazav, sh'al yedei, sh'omar l'sar ha-mashkim, by virtue of the fact that he said to the sar ha-mashkim, right? Ki'im zechartani, we call it v'sizkereini, right? That's v'sizkartani. He wound up spending two extra years in prison because he really caught, because he, right, because, oh, so now the question is, the Medrash says that who is the authentic Eper? Asher Sam Hashem Miftacho, it's Yosef. And then he comes and says, and he spent two more years because he trusted the Sar Mashkim. This is a famous question. So the Beis HaLevi says, the answer is because Yosef is on a uniquely high madrega. But listen to one more, read the Lashon of the Beis HaLevi here. We have I think really two different approaches here when it comes to bitachon. To becomes bitachon. The Beis HaLevi says, here, look at this. Ubiro pushet. The Torah is matir hishtadlos. He's already starting off. He received direction. He's going in. Torah hitira hishtadlos. Adam hishtadlos. Made it permissible to do hishtadlos.
Made it permissible.
Right. You know, why don't you say just vivoteach Hashem? Okay. Again, this is not so poshut, but whatever.
So he had permission to do what?
Time out. Just I'm saying, in general, we're not talking about Yosef, we're talking about anybody. What he called, the Torah is matir to do ishtadlos. Okay. That's what I'm just saying, we already see which direction he's taking here. So, Torah tira lo adam ishtadlos, bitzorche gufo, u kamosha amra kosu, virachacha b'chol asher ta'aseh. Right? Kosh Baruch will bless you in everything you do. Right? V'chein kosu, v'yasafta de gonecha v'sirorishcha, om Rabbi Yisrael, b'mesachas brachos, hanek behem minag derech eretz. Right? Do you conduct yourself according to what you call the derech eretz. In other words, what you call it, you sow when you need to sow, and you reap when you need to reap, and you thresh when you need to thresh, and what you call it, you know, like you need to work in the field. V'ikar inyan, yesh lo ma dezeu klal le'ish Yisraeli. He says, this is the general principle for a Jew. That his heart should be tranquil and he places trust in Hashem. Once again, that the Torah was matir, right? Yishtadlus, once again, you see, he's definitely got a point he's making here. Who mishum delo kol adam yochol lagia lemadregas habitachon agomor. Because not everybody can reach the highest madrega of bitachon. Right? The alkein hutelo yishtadlus kadesh yelo siyua.
That's derech eretz,
right? Right. So therefore, he does the derech eretz. Right. He does the yishtadlus, and in that way, right. Then Kodesh Baruch Hu aids him. Shiyelo l'siyua. Shiagila madrega haboteach. V'tzarech kol adam l'chadesh lo mulacha. V'esekadesh yenakya lo l'vtoach v'Hashem. The goal is that a person should feel tranquil in his trust in Hashem. So therefore, whatever he needs to do in order to maintain his tranquility, right? Once again, can't be tranquil in just entrusting in his suspenders. He's got to be tranquil in his trust in Hashem. But whatever he can do to be what he called to feel that sense of tranquility, right? Tranquility by Hashem, what he called in Hashem. So that's what he's allowed to do.
Yeah, including having a savings account.
I guess it depends on the person. Yeah. Ukamo dematzinu b'chol haTorah shi'tira lefamim kadesh yelo siyua Lavo Lemadrega Mevukeshes. Just like we see that the Torah oftentimes is matter a person, right, to different stages to enable him to reach the ideal state. Ukamosha Amru, La Olam Yasak Adam Vitor Mitzish a few Shalolishma, should we talk Shalolishma Balishma?
That's where we get in trouble. What is tranquil for one person is maybe not tranquil for
Well, tranquil that's true, but each person does what he needs to do in order that he can be Boteach Vashem. Right? And then he should be tranquil in his trust in Hashem. Once again, the goal is not tranquility. Why? Because, you know, why worry? I've got $10 billion in the bank. The goal is that a person should be tranquil in his trust of Hashem. But people need to do different levels of ishtadlus in order for them to accomplish that. Right? The imkain, shiur, ishtadlus, hanirtze, enu shavu chol adam, rak, kol echad lefi erko. Right? The amount of ishtadlus the person has to do depends on the person's madrega.
What were you saying before the last sentence?
Right, just saying that what he called it, that just like what he called the Torah says, you should be osik in Torah mitzvahs afilu shelo lishma, because eventually you get to lishma, right? So same thing also over here. So that's the way he understands it. He understands that what he called that hishtadlus needs a heter. The heter of hishtadlus is what he called because the goal is bitachon. The goal is feeling tranquil and one's trust in Hashem.
Basically.
Right? And therefore, depending on who the person is, right, depending on his particular madrega, so then he does the amount of ishtadlus that's necessary for his madrega in order for him to feel a sense of tranquility. Okay? You don't overdo, you don't underdo, right? You don't overdo, you don't underdo. He says over here, in the case over here, that the Medrash is saying, is praising Yosef, because for anybody else, this would have been considered a normal act, right? But because Yosef was on such a high madrega, for him to ask the Sar HaMashkim to remember him, even if his intention wasn't necessarily to depend upon the Sar HaMashkim, but the mere usage of the Sar HaMashkim is the Ishtadlus, so that would call that already was considered a low fi madregaso.
Why? According to the Beis Levi, he did okay.
No, because it depends on the person's madrega.
Okay, even matter what
he was on. No,
he had a particular effort to feel tranquil.
No, but he called it, the goal is not to feel tranquil in the act. The goal is to feel tranquil in your trust in Hashem. Since he was in such a high madrega that he could feel tranquil in Hashem without this Ishtadlus, his having done the Ishtadlus is not good.
What you're saying is very good, but it's hard to understand since he already did it. It must have been Yosef's decision to be asked to.
See, you can always choose to do. You can just like you can choose to do the right thing or the wrong thing. You can choose to do the wrong thing also. Let's say I decide. You know, that I can only feel tranquil about my future if I go to a postdoctorate program in what do you call in the University of Okefenokee, right? Right, and I spend 8 years there. What do you call me and Wally Gator and McGill Gorilla? What do you call it? And I never see a Jew for the next 8 years. And by the time I finish over there, then you know what do you call it? I
get a job.
Meanwhile, I don't think about anything Yiddishkeit anymore. So obviously, there wasn't any shtadlus that Hashem wanted me to make. So if I overstep the boundaries, then a good person's got to know where he's holding, right? He's got to do what he needs and not more than he needs. He shouldn't do less than he needs, because then he'll wind up being bitter and being nervous and being this and that and the next thing. Okay, that's right. Also true. You can't overstep, you can't understep. That's the way he understands it.
He also overstepped his boundaries.
He says that's the pshat in the Medrash. The Medrash is telling you he was on such a high madriga, and therefore for him this was considered an inappropriate ishtadlus, and that's why he spent 2 more years in the slammer. Right? So that's what he called. That's the way the Beis Levi explains it.
What about the pshat we heard last week that he needed 2 more years of tikkunim?
What? He needed two years of tikkunim l'chor because of what he called because of the overstep the boundaries of his ishtadlus. I mean, you know, the Kodesh Baruch Hu works it out. That's his approach. The Divrei Chaim, right? Rabbi Chaim Tzander. He says a different thing here. It's very interesting. He also says similar to basically, but I think there's a fundamental difference in the approach.
Sorry.
The Divrei Chaim. That's Rabbi Chaim Tzander. He says something very interesting. First of all, he's very fascinating. He starts off his piece, all of a sudden, out of the blue, talking about the idea of whether Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mashgiach, Vashgacha Pratis, on every creature. Right? The Rambam says that there is no hashgacha pratis on anybody except for man. Right? And it would appear, what he called from certain makoros, certain midrashim, certain zohar, what he called, that there is hashgacha pratis even on animals. Right? Even on animals. In other words, this animal will be saved. In other words, it's not just a general thing, what he called, we need to save 5,000 animals, we need, what he called, to 10,000 animals should be eaten by, what he called, by whatever it is, by crocodiles or whatever it is. But rather, what he called, this animal is going to be saved, this animal is going to be, what he called. So this is a very interesting discussion.
So we've already learned in the Or Chaim that said even the rock has
it's nothing exists without Hashem's will. The question is, is there a decision about, again, it's not such a simple thing. I mean, l'chor, it's always Hashem's decision. I would have understood.
How does Rambam hold again?
Rambam holds that there's only what he calls hashgacha minis. Hashgacha minis, what he called a species, is only on the species, not what he called, not on any particular animal.
So he holds everybody has hashgacha.
No, he holds that only man has hashgacha pratis, individual. Again, this is not a simple topic. But anyway,
he says,
that Lamaisa, even though animals don't do either good or bad, which Lachor should be the fundamental premise upon which Hashgacha Pratis is based, right? Yeah. Right? And there's really cool, where you have a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on because you have free will. You choose, you can either do good, you can either do bad.
They have no thought process.
Right. The animals are just instinctual. They're instinctual. So therefore they shouldn't be. But he says, since everything was created for man, right? Man is the goal of creation. That itself is a discussion in the Rambam. Okay, I mean, man down on earth for sure is everybody agrees is the goal of creation. But the heavenly orbs above are for what he calls, the Rambam has his own sheet on it. But whatever it is, he says, since everything was created on earth for the sake of man, so therefore, in a backhanded sense,
Rambam holds like that. No,
everybody holds on earth. Everybody holds the pinnacle of creation as man, right? The question is really called, is the pinnacle of all creation man? And that's the way all the Mekubalim learn. That's really called. I mean, the Rambam is really called is got, you know, it has a different sheet here, but that's not down on earth. It's only what he called and what the purpose is of you know all the things going on upstairs. But okay, but since the Divrei Chaim, on earth, all the animals here on earth, are created for the sake of man, so therefore, right, in a backhanded sense, what he called, they have Hashgacha Pratis, because each person, what he called, since all for the sake of man, so they're all linked to man, and since man is free will, so therefore he wants to say that, what he called, that there is what he called level of Hashgacha Pratis, also what he called for the animals, which again he has basis in Midrashim and what he called different Tanoim that came out and they heard Malach say this bird is going to be caught, this bird is going to go free, etc. And it's a terminology used over there of judgment, right? Right, not just what he called, just stand, free or not free, but he called, this one is judged to what he called to be caught, this one is receives clemency, right? So it sounds like it's a process of din. So he wants to say, because it's all linked to man.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Now, look, this has nothing to do with our discussion here. And then he says, okay, now let's go back to our discussion here about Yosef spending 2 more years in prison. Right? It's very strange. He starts off talking about this first thing here with the Rambam. Then he says, now let's go back to our discussion of Yosef. I think the two ideas are linked. He says, Yosef spent 2 more years in prison. He says, why? He says, from the time of what he called, from the time of the creation of man, certainly after the chait, you have to, what he called, you have to do ishtadlus. You're mechuyev to do ishtadlus. That's the way of the world. See, he doesn't approach it like the Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi is understanding it, that really, you should be boteach, right? And everything else is just really it's just a heter. It's a heter to do ishtadlus in order that you should be able to be botech. But he's saying no. In order to be botech, that's the base of Levi. But Zvi Chaim is learning. He says no. He says you're mechuyev to do ishtadlus. It doesn't mean you have to go spend 8 years in the University of Okefenokee, right? Learning underwater basket weaving. But you do have to do ishtadlus. He says, but that's only by regular people. He doesn't use the concept of madregas the way basically he did. He says it's only by regular people, but Yosef, but the tzaddik, here we get into this different realm here. The tzaddik, right? He doesn't have to do anything. The tzaddik doesn't have to do anything.
That's
a different kind. The tzaddik. I mean, who's the tzaddik? Not just Stamet tzaddik. Be tzaddik. Like, you know, like tzaddik we call tzaddik Yisod Olam. That's Yosef. Right? He says, what was the lashon that he uses? Ach be'emes etel Yosef atzaddik le'erach godel tzidkoso ha'yezen nechshav l'chait. Ki hein be'emes derech eretz tzorek chizuk. Right? People, you have to be mischazik, you have to do ishtadlus. V'chol adam, what do you call it? Bir'oso, shal, medeslo, mitzvah ischazik. When you see something going your way, like let's say if the Sarah Mashkin comes, and what do you call it? You know the Sarah Mashkin is going to be released. So it's the right thing to do, to say, what do you call it? Remember me to paro. Not that you're trusting Sarah Mashkin, but you're mechuyev to do the ishtadlus. He says that's only by regular people, but not by the deep tzaddik. The biggest people, right? The gdoli ador tzaddikim. Kvo Yosef atzaddik ain't tzorach lasso shum davar. Rak b'Hashem yishlach ezraso b'lo siyua me'odam. Right? He shouldn't, what do you call it, need any help from another person.
The biggest people.
Right, the biggest people. And I think that's why he started off talking about the Rambam. What do you call it? The idea of we're all being linked when you're a person who's such a tzaddik.
Divrei Chaim in the was after Rambam.
Oh yeah, much. Yeah, Divrei Chaim is in the 19th century, Right. The idea being a person who's such a big tzaddik, he becomes like Kilu, the clearinghouse. He's attaching everybody to Hashem, right? He's on such a, what do you call it, he is like, what do you call it, tzaddik yisod olam, the tzaddik, like the foundation of the world. So everybody is being attached, what do you call it, is attached to him to one degree or another. Everybody's got their own relationship, obviously, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he uniquely connects him. This is something also, I think, if I remember correctly, I think the
direct,
he uniquely connects everybody, the tzaddik yisod olam, uniquely attaches everybody to their Ribono Shel Olam. Right? The degree they have a connection with him, he connects them more deeply, what do you call it, to their Ribono Shel Olam. Aside from their own personal, what do you call it, their own personal, their connection to their Ribono Shel Olam. And then, what do you call it, when we say the bracha in Shmuel, Al HaTzadikim, Al HaChasidim, Al Zikni Amcha, Beis Yisrael, right? Right, it's their schus that we would call it that we live, and that's the even the mefarshim, not chassidish mefarshim, but he called it, I think the Magen Tzedek, I think says that, what he called the Talmidim of the Gra, right? The tzaddikim are uniquely connect us. When we are connected to them, what he called, they help connect us to our Ribono Shel Olam.
But therefore, since we just have to do ishtadlus,
so we do ishtadlus. They what he called that's what I'm suggesting over here. The reason he brought in this whole idea first with the machlokus, with the discussion with the Rambam, is because he wanted to show that there are what he called the fact that you can be linked to something else, which is on higher madrega, right? Automatically gives a person a different sort of a status. There he was talking about the animal kingdom vis-a-vis Ashkacha Pratis, because everything there is Letzorach Yisrael. I'm suggesting he was wanted to introduce that to tell us that this is also true over here, that when you're a clearinghouse of connection, what do you call it, to the Ribono Shel Olam, like the Tzaddik and Gdolim, the Gdoli Ador, etc. So the rules for them are different. The rules for them are different. They're what you call it. There is a word there, like kilu, in an enclave to a certain degree of bitachon and connection to Hashem, like korom achet. I don't know, right? Okay, that's also an issue. So anyway, so then we call it. So that's the first thing over here. So we have
back to Yosef.
Right, because we'll make back to Yosef. Because we have, the Parsha starts off with, Yosef made an error, right? Bein according to the Beis HaLevi, Bein according to the Rechaim, he made an error. What the nature of his error was, according to the Beis HaLevi, right, that all Shabbos is only done, only done where it's necessary for a person to have bitachon, right? If you don't need the Shabbos in order to have...
Beis HaLevi says he always chayev.
Right,
he didn't make a mistake.
Well, no, he did make a mistake.
I mean, he did what he was supposed to do.
No, because you only do the amount of ishtadlus that's relevant to a person on your madrega. So Yosef was on a higher madrega, so therefore he didn't need to do that ishtadlus. He didn't need to do it. That's what he's explaining. What he spent 2 years in prison for what? For doing the right thing or the wrong thing?
Uh-huh.
Right?
But Yosef, he was an ordinary person.
Right. Okay. And what he called, and then the Rechaim says it a little bit differently. He says what he called, that really, it's not just there's a heter of Ishtadlis, there's a chiyav of Ishtadlis. There's a chiyav of Ishtadlis. Yosef is different. The Gedolei HaDor are different. Gedolei HaDor are different. Right?
Yeah. So how is the person supposed to know when he gets into that club?
I guess once you're there, you know. Okay. So this is what he called. This is one interesting thing. Is what he called is that there's Yosef over here. He, according to the Chazal, right? He errs, and Seder. He's Mekabalot. He's got no tainus on it. Fine. Now,
he realized that he was
a mistake. Yeah, Chorik. He spent 2 more years in prison.
That's not what we said that. Last week we said that he needed the 2 more years because he needed the tikkunim.
Again, the tikkunim might have been for because he erred maybe in his bitachon.
Yeah.
Right. So that's because that he needed the tikkun because he erred in the bitachon. Right. That's why he needed 2 more years. Right.
Okay. You could always bring up arguments.
Yeah, because these are two similar but yet different approaches over
and
here.
And therefore the Beis HaLevi said that he has a heter. But even again,
for him it wasn't mutter. For us it'd be mutter.
He had a heter, but
for him he didn't have a heter.
Everybody agrees that he wasn't an ordinary person, Yosef.
Right.
And therefore the normal rules of derekav don't apply for him.
Right, but so what for us it would have been mutter to do, for him it was asa to do. Period. Okay. Fine. We have over here an error, and Chori, he's got no complaints, but he accepts it. Now we've got another one. Vayom Yisrael, this is Yaakov speaking. Vayom Yisrael, lama hariosim li, lahagid li, la'ish ha'od lachem ach. When the brothers come back, this is Yaakov speaking to the brothers, when they come back, and they say, well, guess what? We lost Shimon in Mitzrayim. He's sitting there in the slammer. He's in the calaboose. Right? And the guy says, the guy running the show over there says he's not giving us any more food unless we show up with Binyamin. And we call it, and Yaakov Avinu says, I don't know, what's the matter with you? But Yom Yisrael, Lama Ariosim, like, why'd you mess me over? Right? Right, lahagid laish ha'od lachem ach. That you told him you have another brother. Oh, I should have told him about you had another brother. But he called. Quiet, you don't talk so much, etc. Why'd you mess me over? Hariosim, you did it for me a ra. Says the Medrash. It says Vayomer Yisrael lamariosim li. Rabbi Levi b'shem Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Right, Rabbi Levi, the name of Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, said Me'olam lo'omer Yaakov Avinu dover shel batola. He never said a wasted word in his life, except these words over here. Ela kach, except over here. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani osek lahamlich es beno b'mitzrayim. V'omer lama hariosim li? Right, here I am, I'm in the process of making, Yosef already was the Moshe of Mitzrayim, but he was going to be what he called a full-fledged melech, which certainly when he's been the melech of his brothers, which is what he was destined to be, right? I'm in the process of making him a melech, and Yaakov is saying, Lama Hariosami, why do you mess me over? What mess you over? Lehevach, what's going on over here is good, just you don't see it. But I could use the terminology.
So, would Yaakov use an unwarranted word here?
Yes. The Medrash says this is the only wasted words he ever said. So the Pritzadik says, V'zeu she'omru me'olum lo omer Yaakov v'inu dover shebotala, ela kach omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani osik lahamlich es beno v'mitzrayim, v'hu omer alam yosem li, v'haynu, says Rabbi Tzadik, she'Yaakov v'inu olam ha'sholom yoda, v'vadai, she'kol ha'siv az ma'ashem yizbarach, V'lo tala kol b'mechirasam u'maseim shlo b'gzeres Hashem Yisbarach. First of all, he says, don't think that Yaakov Avinu here is like us, right? Right? Yaakov Avinu is like us. When somebody breaks a dish, you klutz, you fool. You know how long I've had those dishes and kept them okay intact, and you already called you. You're such a...
Don't remind me.
You already called you. You messed it over right called now. We shouldn't think that Yaakov Avinu is thinking that.
Who said that?
But Tzadik says, don't think that Yaakov is thinking like that. Superficially, you read that, it sounds like one of us. You know, if something goes wrong, you find somebody to blame.
So he's defending Yaakov.
He's just defending him for what you would think superficially. Again, he's not saying he did the right thing. He's saying what he called. He's defending him from the superficial outlook. Umasha Omar Lam Hariosimli Hayakavanosu Shall Kolpani Masiva Shahariosimli Lahagi Liish Haya Aidei Avonosechem the Mikhashid Kuchabriko the Ovid Dina below Dina, right? Notice he's not saying you're the cause, right? You're the cause. The cause is really called Hashem is the cause. Hashem is the cause. But what enabled you to what he called to be the intermediary to bring this about? Because of your Averis. Right, and we talked about this last year, or maybe the year before. Everybody called that he was. They were definitely chashud in his eyes to have enmity, certainly for Yosef, etc. Amongst themselves, the divisiveness amongst themselves. So he says, "You're what he called halama hariosimli." Doesn't mean you're the cause of what he called this thing over a year that because you talk too much. That's why I'm messed over. It's because of Averis, but it's your Averis. Averis.
But he didn't Yaakov. Didn't do any Averis for himself.
Again, he was assuming that it was their enmity that caused this problem to emerge. So that's what he said, Lamhari Osamli, why have you done Ra, which became the intermediary for this to happen to me? Okay? Fine.
You want me to buy one of these cups? You always have a hot pee?
No, it's okay, thanks. So what do you call it? It's fine. So that's what we're holding. Okay? Now, further on, right, in the Perek, also here in Miketz, then they're running out of food, right? So Reuven says, right, Dad? He says to Yaakov Avinu,
Daddy.
I apologize, I shouldn't have said that. He says, send down Binyamin with me, and if I don't bring him back, you can kill my two sons. So what he called, again, Reuven is very, very stark. Etc. But Yaakov says that doesn't wash for me. Right? What do you think? If I kill your two sons, that's going to make me happy? Forget it. Then Yehuda pipes up and he says, "I'll be the Orev. I guarantee I'll bring him back to you." Right? Anochi Arvenu Miyadi Tevakshenu. Right? I might see him before you, and if not, I'll be a sinner in front of your eyes forever. But I'm going to bring him back. So. Yehuda gives an incredible expression of bitachon. I'm going to bring him back. I guarantee I'm going to bring him back. So then, after Yehuda says that, so then Yaakov already changes his tune. What does he say? He says, "Vayomer aleihem Yisrael avihem. Im kein efo zos asu." This is a very funny pasuk, right? He says, Yaakov says to them, "Im kein, if so, Afo is like where? Afo is, right?
Is this with Afo with an Alf or Afo?
I'm sorry, Alf, I'm sorry, yeah, right. Afo is like, what do you call it?
Baking.
Baking cake. No, he's not baking cake. He says, Afo zosasu. What does the Targum say? Pacha, right? Da ividu. Here, right? Here.
What are you reading now?
The target, what do you call it? The Afo. Here. In Cain, Afo, you know, here, this is what we should do. Zosasu. Here, this is what we should do.
Yaakov.
He says, here, this is what we should do. Here, this is what we should do. Right? But it's funny, we don't need the Afo. Zosasu. Do this.
We know that everywhere in the Torah is not
a living. Fine. Somebody, wait a minute. Here, do this. Chum Zimras Aretz. Take from, right, b'chleichem, take from the zimras ha'aretz. Rashi says the sort of things that would call it that when the people, it causes people to sing about the land, right? Certain things. Right? What are these things? It's a collection, an odd collection of things that are in small quantities, but yet they're not common. They're not common things. Sari, dvash, nechos, halos, fapim, shkedim, right? It's got how many things there? Five things, right?
Sing about
one,
he said, take
two,
these things,
three, four, five, six, six, six. Yeah, but take these things down. Right? Small amounts, a little bit, what do you call it? Not large amounts necessarily.
They were delicacies.
They were uncommon. Uncommon. Right? Uncommon. Pistachios, wax, right?
Wax?
Yeah. Chava.
Yeah, there were almonds too, weren't there?
Almonds, right? Almonds. Different, what do you call it? Honey. Honey that was very hard, etc. So it's a very sort of strange thing. All of a sudden now he says, here, this is what you should do. Here, this is what you should do. Says the Al-Sheikh. Amr of Levi, B'shem Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai. Tomar osa charada shechradati es abba. V'yomer mi efo. He shen is da ze'al icon. All of a sudden Yaakov changes his tune. In other words, before, right, he thought that the brothers were responsible, right? And there was a strong tine on them. But now he's saying, you know, maybe this is all just to scare me. Maybe all this happening here is just to scare me. Just like I scared my father, because really cool, because that's what Yitzchak said. That's what Yitzchak said when Esav came in afterwards to receive the brachas, and Yaakov would have quoted, already gotten the brachas. And Esav said, I've come to get the brachas. And Yitzchak says, what do you mean? Who's the person who came before? Who's the person who came before? Pasuk is what he quoted is in Toldos. Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayomer lo Yitzchak Aviv. So Yitzchak says to Esav, after Esav comes in, I've come to get the brachas. And Yitzchak says, what do you mean? I gave the brachas already? I already gave you the brachas. Vayomer lo Yitzchak Aviv, mi ata? Vayomer ani bincha b'chorcha Esav. Vayechrad Yitzchak charada gdola. He was very afraid here. Really cool. He was really on edge. What did I do here? Ad ma'od. Vayomer mi efo? Who? Hatzad Sayyid. Right? Mi efo? Mi hu? Ve'efo hu? Right, Rashi over there says, who is he and where is he? Right? But it's the word, Efo, who atzad sayed, vayaveh li v'olchal mikol v'terem tavo v'avacheo gam baruch yeh. So he's, I had everything wrong. I'm in Shemaim, I just gave the brachas to Yaakov. I was always planning to give the brachas to Esav, I gave it to Yaakov, and like his whole world is shaken up. His whole world is shaken up because he always thought Esav was the one that was get these brachas. Now, obviously, Min HaShemayim, Yaakov was the one who was meant to get these brachas. So that's a major earthquake for Yitzchak, right? Which way are things going? What did I do right? What did I do wrong? Right, etc. So says what he calls. So says the Medrash. Says the Medrash. He says that's what he called. That's what Yaakov is saying over here. When he's used the terminology. Im kein efo zos. Why do you use the word efo? He should say zos asu. Do this. Efo zos is what he called referring back to record to the word efo that Yitzchak used when he realized that Yaakov had tricked him, right? And when he could give him the brachas to Yaakov instead of to Esav, and he was also very unsettled by it. He says maybe what's happening over here is really this is all just to scare me, to unsettle me, just like I unsettled my father. Right? In which case, I have to be mischazik. Right? And as before, I thought it was doom gloom. I figured it was all over. Right? I'm going to Gehenna because my this one's dead, and now maybe the next one's going to be dead, and the third one's going to be dead. Who knows what it's going to be, what he called. That's it, I'm finished. And now all of a sudden, no. Maybe that's not what's happening. Maybe it's just a tikkun, what he called, because of the pain that I caused my father, and I needed to be caused that pain. In which case, Chumi Zimras Aretz, take these amounts of things that people sing about, etc., and bring this to the Ish. And what made him change? Says the Al-Sheikh, Ach bir'osi godol bitochon Yehuda ba'omro v'avi'osi v'itzaktiv Omer im kein ein sakonis moves aleichem. When he saw that Yehuda was acting with such bitochon, he says, my children are put together. That's not the problem. The problem is not because they're not put together. The problem is really called, maybe I need to expiate for having caused my father pain, right? Caused my father confusion as to what was going on. And what I need to do now is to be mischazik, to strengthen myself in mitochon. So therefore, he sends a matana. A matana, just like the Esav, always mollifies the individual who receives the matana. The matana, he softens him, right? Softens his attitude. That, not only that, but also he sends it, it would be called small, precious things. Obviously meant to be directed to a person who's like a connoisseur, like a chacham, right? Right? You know, you don't send him a ton of brick. I'm going to send you, you know, as a present, I'm going to send you, 5,000 tons of bananas, right? That they call that fell off the truck, right? On the Long Island Expressway. Yeah, but he's not going to send that. He sends him fine things, obviously, because show that he represents him as a chacham. And also, this terminology, zimras ha'aretz, the things that bring song out of the earth. There's a pasuk in Yishayahu. Miknaf ha'aretz, zmiro shamanu, tzvila tzadik. Right? From the depths of the earth, yeah, we hear a song coming up. And what does that song say? Tzvi latzadik. Tzvi latzadik. That either means that tzadik will stand, right? Tzadik will stand. Or the tzadik, what do you call the tzadik's will be done, right? His chafetz will be done. Tzvi latzadik. The will of the tzadik will take place, or the tzadik will now stand. Even though the tzadik had been knocked down before, but he will stand now. This is a pasuk in Yeshaya. And that's the song, that's the miknaf aretz zmiro shamanu. That's the song of the earth. That's a song coming out of the earth. You know, this is a pasuk in Yishayahu, right? Knaf ha'aretz zmiro shamanu. From the bottom of the earth, we heard what he called a song. What was that song? Tzvi latzadik. That the tzadik, who may have been knocked down before, will now stand up. Let's use that pshat, okay? So when he's sending them symbolically with what he calls zimras ha'aretz, he's also sending with them what he calls the tzaddik will stand again. The tzaddik will stand again. In other words, what he called maybe even Yosef. Yosef is called Yosef at tzaddik. Maybe even he will stand again. Maybe he's really not gone, right? But certainly, whatever, even not in terms of Yosef. What he called, in other words, it's a statement of faith by symbolically sending these things that are referred to as zimras ha'aretz, because the zimras ha'aretz is the tzaddik will stand. In other words, even though it looks like what he called all is lost, but all is not lost. The tzaddik will stand. Right, the tzaddik will stand again. Okay. So now, so that's what he called. That's so what we have over here. So we saw Yosef at the beginning of the parsha, right? Yosef in your parsha, he misread, right, the events. He paid for it with 2 years. He accepts that. We see Yaakov Avinu initially. He's assuming that it's his son's sins, right, that are causing all these problems, and he gets bent, you know, he can turn bent out of shape, or whatever. He says, I'm Har Yosef Li, etc. But then after he sees Yehuda's bitachon, says the Al-Sheikh, then he recants. Okay, they're put together. They're put together, right? Hashem is probably is trying, but this is a patch in terms of scaring me, just like my father was scared. But what just like my father had to change gears and realize Gam Baruchi, yeah, he gave me the bracha in the end because he realized that's what Hashem wanted, right? That's what Hashem wanted. So to also, right, to, this is what he called, I have to be talking on Hashem. So therefore, take these fine things, which is a present, will hopefully recall a Condus, this viceroy over here. Obviously, it speaks to the fact that he's a deep thinking person, because I send him very special things. And also the remez in it is really called the remez in these things that are chosen, is that the tzaddik will recall, even though the tzaddik has been knocked down, even though we were at a low point here, even by some Yosef, is known as Yosef at tzaddik, is gone. Tzila tzaddik, what do you call for me knaf aretz, right? What do you call Zmiro Shamanu? We heard the song coming out of the earth. The tzaddik will stand again. The tzaddik will stand again. These are words of faith. So Yaakov shifts.
That's
what he called. That's what we're looking at. We saw the misreading of Yosef. We saw the misreading of Yaakov, and then the correction of it.
How can he apply? Who said it? Where was that pasuk?
In Yishayahu.
Yishayahu applied a pasuk to Yaakov even before it happened.
No. I'm just saying that what he called. I'm just saying that what he called. Yishayahu is telling us that from the bottoms of the earth come what he called. Come the song of the earth. And the song of the earth.
This is an example.
Right, and that required, and that concept is what Yaakov was referring to. And finally, right, with regard to what Yosef is trying to do with his, what do you call, with his brothers. This we saw once before also, this Ksav Sofer. This is a very interesting
probably
thing.
Probably saw more than once.
Okay, this is a very... Right?
Ksav Sofer.
No, this is the Ksav Sofer. That's the Ksav Sofer's son. The Ksav Sofer. He says in Perek Membeis Pasuk Ches. So there's an interesting two psukim here.
What parsha?
Here in Mikitz Membeis Ches. She says it says it says here first in Pasuk Zion. This is when the brothers first show up. Right? It says, Vayar Yosef Hesechav Vayakirem. He recognized them. Vayisnakir Aleim. He pretended to be acted strangely towards them. Right?
When they first came down.
Really cool. The first time they came down.
They got arrested being spies, they were brought to Yosef.
But he hasn't arrested him yet.
No, but he would.
They came down because they're standing in front of him. This is the first time he sees them. Right? Vayar Yosef, Esechav Ayakirim, he recognizes them. Vayisnakir Aleim, but he, Rashi says, really cool, he spoke to them very toughly, you know, he acted like a stranger towards them. Right? Others say that he put on a hood, whatever, I don't know. Vaydabri Tom Kashos, he spoke to them harshly. Vayom Aleim, Me'ayim Basim, where are you coming from? Yomri Eretz Kanan, Lishbor Ochel. Right? We came here to get food. Pasuk Ches. Vayakir Yosef, Esechav. Vayim Lohi Kiru. So second, the Pasuk Cheska says again, he recognized them. Right? He recognized them.
Yosef recognized
them. Right. And they didn't recognize...
Two times
he said. Oh, it says two times. So the Rishonim deal with it. What do you mean he already said he recognized them. So the Rabban, what he called, they give different answers, what he called. Before he understood, what he called, they were in general. Now he looked at them more closely. He knew who exactly each one was, etc. The way they deal with the Pshat. But it is a difficulty. Well, I say twice that he recognized them. Right? Vehem lo hikiru. And they didn't recognize him. Right? So says the Ksav Sofer, his anir li kiyesh shnei mini hakara, the two different ways of recognizing. Shamakir ish es ra'ayu hakaras ponim betvias ayin sheyesh lo bo. Sometimes you recognize somebody, you see their face, you recognize their face. V'gam shemakir mahuso. But there's also a way to recognize somebody to know what their essence is. Like what's going on inside of them. Well, you know, where's this person vis-a-vis me? Im yare Hashem, who is he Yor Shemaim or not? Vimidos of Tovim, does he have good midos? You know, you recognize a person by their face, you can recognize a person by their deeds. Im roim chadom, v'hinei, kishra Yosef es echov, hikirem b'tzuras pneim, shehem echov. The first hakara is he recognized them. He recognized who they were. Avladayin lohikir pnimius shalahem, but he still didn't understand what made them tick. Right? He didn't. He wasn't able to understand initially what made them tick.
That was important for him because he didn't want
to. He wanted to know where they were holding.
Yeah.
Right. But you.
The real himself.
Right. Ma'achar she'sonu oso, because afterwards in the past they hated him. Umachro oso misin asam oso, because of their hatred towards him they sold him. V'yuchol yoski la'achar she'machru nischartu v'ro shelo tovasu. Could be that what he called that afterwards, right? Maybe they regretted what they did. So he was peering at them to try and understand if what he called if they had any sense of charata and what they did. V'tamid chatam neged pneim, and perhaps their sin is always in front of them that they did the wrong thing. Kidavar David, right? Kipshoi ani yodea eida v'chatosi negdi tamid. Like David says, really called my sin is always in front of me. El sheim tamid. Are you Zochim as Yosef? Aha, he says, because says Ksav Sofer though. He said that Yosef thought to himself, if they always were thinking about him, this is a traumatic event, having sold your brother into slavery, maybe to death, right? If they had always been remembering Yosef, Velo Nishkach Tmunas Yosef Mehem, and they hadn't, what he called, forgotten, right? You know, Yosef's visage was always in front of them because, what he called, I remember that day. I remember that day when we sold our brother, etc.
I mean, if the event was still with them,
it was alive within, inside of them.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, see, it was if it would have been alive inside of them, so it shows that what he called that the sin, they regretted it, right? Kemo Yosef Hikir Osam Bashir Tamid Zachar Osam Lo Son Osam Betid Kaso. Right? He remembered them because in spite of what they did to him, he still didn't hate them. Right? In spite of what they did to him. See, they were always in his mind. Cain, im sin osam oso kvar avda, lo hayashochim tsuraso tumraso. If they'd, record, if they'd gotten rid of their enmity towards him, then his picture would always been in front of them. Right? Thinking about what he caught, what we did wrong, and how we wish we could write it, etc. Mizeh shafat Yosef kilo zachru, v'lo ola libam, but he saw that his vision was very far from their minds. Otherwise, they would have recognized him, right? Just like even though it's true that what he called, he had a beard, he didn't have a beard then, but still,
he was 22 years older,
right? But Cedric, he recognized them. They also changed, but what he called, but because their vision was always in front of them, in front of him, so he recognized them immediately. But because his vision wasn't in front of them, right? Because they didn't regret what they did. So therefore, that's why they didn't recognize him.
Yeah, but maybe he's reading it wrong. Because they came down specifically looking for Yosef.
No, they came for food. This is the first time. They came for food. They didn't come looking for Yosef. I'm saying the Medrash says that what he called all
you
the
take this game. Right. You take that game. Right.
That's true. That's in the Medrash. But that's not. You don't see that anywhere in the Pesukim. You don't see the Pesukim. Right? And could be what he called in Hanami right? That could be that the even if they wanted to find Yosef, but they wanted to find Yosef, right, for the sake of their father. Because they saw the father's pain, not necessarily because what he called, because they regretted what they did. The Medrash brings down that he puts them through the ringer in order to what he called, in order to lessen their punishment, right?
Right.
That's in the punishment.
He wanted
to extract the some stuff from them so they wouldn't have to suffer more afterwards. And then, right?
Or wasn't that also to see how much they really cared about him?
Well, again,
whether or not he felt the same way about Binyomi.
Oh, I'm saying that's I'm saying this initial part over here, which is what he called, which is just being talking to them harshly, right? To put them through the ringers to lessen their punishment, etc. That's really cool. That's one act of Yosef to try and record, arrange things. In other words, because he's seeing things clearly. And then record also over here, when he remembers the dreams he dreamt for them. Says what he called the Ksav Sofer. The dreams he dreamt for them. The terminology is what the Pasuk say?
They came and bowed down before him.
Right. For everybody called, Vayaka Yosef is a Echaves lo kiru, Vayizko Yosef is a Chalomos asher Cholam lahem. That he dreamed for their sake. In other words, he knew, right? He knew that he had the ability to put them all together, right? and to, what do you call, sustain them, as he was going to sustain them now in Egypt. But he wanted them to all, what do you call, to be united with him. So that he remembers the dreams that he dreamt for them. And therefore he wanted to bring them to this state of, what do you call, recognizing that he was what do you call, he had dominion over them. So he wanted to lessen their punishment. He also wanted to bring them, what do you call, into you know, recognizing his authority, not because he needed the authority, but because he knew those dreams were positive for them in terms of their being sustained.
Wait, hold on one second. The dreams that Yosef remembered was at the first meeting?
When he first saw them, he remembered the dreams, and he dreamt for them. That's the
Pasuk
says.
For them?
Lahem.
For their benefit?
Right, they're for their benefit, because it means he was going to sustain them. All their sheaves are going to bow down to his sheave, etc., because he was going to be the one who was going to supply them with the food.
But the brothers interpreted it wrong.
Right, but he wanted to lord over them, etc., and he was just really seeing that, what he called, that he was going to benefit them.
But he didn't say it that way. He said, you're going to all bow down.
Right,
they thought, okay,
the bowing, right, Sam, the bowing down.
Why didn't he say that the sheaves represented this and that? Why didn't he see there's a communication failure here?
Okay, that's the problem. You're right. And finally, right, Vayar Yosef, what he called in later on.
So what was the purpose of remembering his dreams?
He remembered the dreams he dreamt for them. He wanted to bring them to what he called to that state that what he called that he could sustain them, just like he says what he called like his dreams said that he was going to sustain them.
So therefore, what? Therefore, he had to fulfill those dreams.
He wanted to fulfill them. The Ramban says he wanted to fulfill the dreams because he saw the dreams as a nevuah. But again, what the Ksav Sofer is adding over here is that he saw the dreams as a nevuah that would be beneficial for them. And if we want to fulfill them, just the same way, it's sort of like what do you call it? In oftentimes in the Navi, they'll do a physical act, right? They'll do a physical act associated with the prophecy to concretize the prophecy that it should come true. So see, also he's going to make sure the physical act takes place so that the prophecy will come true. He'll be able to sustain them. He'll be able to sustain them.
So he wanted to remember the dream. He wanted to see if the brothers were worthy of remembering the dreams.
No, he just remembered the dreams inside himself. The first part over here is what he called. What did they drop the enmity? He saw they hadn't dropped the enmity. They hadn't dropped the enmity. Later on, when he sees that they begin speaking amongst themselves that we should have listened to what he called. We heard his cries and we didn't listen to him. So then already he saw that they were what he called. They already had a process of charata. It wasn't like it was a charata that necessarily that he saw from years ago, but what he called, at least now, the charata. They saw the Yisurim coming upon themselves. They said, you know, we have to check our actions. And finally...
So because he wanted his dreams, Yosef was going to deal lenient with him. He wanted to give them more credit. He wanted to judge them more favorably.
But he saw that they hadn't regretted it, right? But he still wanted to benefit them. Right, and then eventually did see that they did regret. So then so things improved. And then finally, right, this idea over here that he arranged the whole seuda that they should eat together. Right, they should eat together. They should drink together. Right, and and Binyamin he gave a special He gave them. He gave Binyamin extra. So all of this is All of this is to as it were to create. Right, the canvas, right, the canvas upon which he's eventually going to reveal the picture, right. They're all going to sit together. They sit together. They drink together. Camaraderie, etc. He tests them to see if they'll be jealous of Binyamin, right? And it doesn't look like anybody's getting bent out of shape. If Binyamin's getting an extra amount, so now he's painted the canvas, and then he's going to reveal himself and say, "This is the way we should be," right, etc. Right? And you read me wrong, and you sold me to what he called, etc. Of course, Baruch had other things in mind. Eventually, when he reveals himself in next week's Parsha, etc. But here he's already painting the canvas.
So what was the interval? Just to see if they still had how they were going to treat Binyamin.
That's part of it, to see how they can treat Binyamin. Then it's further proven by Yehuda when Yehuda in the beginning of next week's Parsha, right, says that he's willing to stay as a slave in place of Binyamin. So then he's already painted, he's already prepared the canvas in its entirety. First of all, he wants to make sure that that they expiate part of the sin they committed, and that's why he speaks to them toughly, right? He remembers the dreams that he dreamt that would be beneficial for them. He wants to bring them in, to concretize them, so the nevuah for sure will take place. Then, in addition, he paints a canvas, he creates a canvas where they all sit together in camaraderie, eating and drinking together, and he makes treats Binyamin specially. Nobody gets bent out of shape. Nobody gets bent out of shape. And then, when Yehuda in next week's parsha says, "I'll be the slave instead of Binyamin," that's it.
Then he reveals himself.
Right, then he reveals himself. Right. Maybe he wanted to do more, but he couldn't do any more. He couldn't do any more.
He was afraid.
He couldn't do any more. Couldn't do any more. So we have Yosef's misunderstanding in the beginning of the parsha, right? That's why he spent 2 more years in prison. We have the story of Yaakov.
When you say misunderstanding?
He shouldn't have employed. Right, because we have Yaakov originally feeling like Lam Hariosimli, why are you messing my life over, etc. Even if you explained it the way Rav Tzadok explained it, that it's your sins. Yaakov. But then Yaakov, when he sees you, does Bitachon, he recants. And we'll bring him Zimra Sa'aretz. And the remez in there is, we heard, yeah, Mizimra Sa'aretz, yeah, we heard from, not Mizimra Sa'aretz, what's the boss like? Miknafa Aretz, Zmiro Shamanu.
We heard saying when he rises.
Right, we call it Tzila Tzadik, the Tzadik will rise again, etc. Then we've got Yosef, as it were, all totally in control here at the end of the Parsha, right? Doing things, checking them with the Ksav and Silver Sins. Have they dropped their enmity? Have they not dropped their enmity? If they haven't dropped their enmity, then I have to, I have to extract from them some punishment so they don't have to suffer worse punishment later. Mitzad Sheni, I want the dreams to be concretized, so I should be, I'll be sure that Nevuah will take place. I'll be able to sustain them. And then finally, he paints the canvas of the way the Jewish people should be. Right, the way the Jewish people should be, all together in camaraderie, eating together, drinking together, etc., without any jealousy towards one another. He prepared the canvas, and then the picture he puts down next week.
So it's amazing how he manipulated the whole situation to build the prophecy.
Baruch Hashem, right.